Grace be yours and peace through our risen Christ and through the wonderful hope of our resurrection from the dead. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the last sermon in the series that we pastors have been preaching on, the letter to the Hebrews, about Jesus, our great high priest, and the ways that he is superior to the human high priest of the Old Testament. So we read in Hebrews chapter 7, beginning at verse 23. There were many who became priests because death prevented any of them from continuing to remain in office. But because this one endures forever, he has a permanent priesthood. So for this reason, he is able to save forever those who come to God through him, because he always lives to plead on our behalf. This is certainly the kind of high priest we needed, one who is holy, innocent, pure, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices on a daily basis, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. In fact, he sacrificed for sins once and for all when he offered himself. This is the word of our Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, dear fellow redeemed and celebrants, the dearly loved by God. The Jewish historian Josephus tells us that there were 83 high priests from the time of its institution to when the Romans ended the priesthood and the sacrifices in 70 AD. Easter reminds us of why that rather large turnover is no longer necessary. The writer to the Hebrews says it was necessary because all these just human high priests died, and so they couldn't stay in office. And so somebody else had to take over for them. We're going to see this morning in our last sermon on Jesus, our great high priest, that Jesus is our eternal high priest. He has that permanent priesthood in which he lives and in which he intercedes on our behalf. Jesus is our great high priest, and different from all the other high priests, because he isn't dead. And he isn't dead because he didn't have any sins. You know, when we think of the sins of some of the high priests, there's probably two notorious names that come to mind. Annas, Caiaphas. But all the other high priests, the human high priests like us, are sinners. And the wages of sin is death. They couldn't escape it, and we couldn't escape it. So their priesthood was temporary and passed on from one to another. And as we've been hearing over the last weeks, when they went into the presence of God because of their own sin, they had to offer a sacrifice for themselves as well as for the people before they went into the presence of God in the most holy place. Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, shows us how Jesus' high priesthood is far superior. Because our Lord Jesus was without sin. When he died under your sins and mine, under your guilt and mine. Jesus is the sinless Son of God. And so he lives. And he didn't have to offer a sacrifice for his own sins, but he did offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people, for us. And that sacrifice is his holy, perfect blood. Jesus was different. And many people surrounding Jesus' passion recognized that. Remember what Pontius Pilate said about Jesus? I'm going to let him go because I find no fault in him. The Sanhedrin had to bring false witnesses to testify against Jesus because they couldn't really accuse him of any wrongdoing. The criminal on the cross said to his mate, "We're getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Even Judas declared Jesus' innocence when he said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect priest, the perfect one between us and God, in whom God is now our Father and through whom we go and all blessings come to us. Jesus is that perfect priest, a high priest who truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners. The sacrifices that the human priests offered never satisfied God's requirement for sin. But Jesus' holy, perfect sacrifice of his own blood did satisfy God's justice. That justice fell on Jesus on the cross when Jesus suffered and died and suffered eternal damnation in hell while he hung on the cross. How do we know that? How might we trust that our debt was paid and that God has forgiven us? The reason we celebrate this morning, the resurrection, the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. By raising his Son, God has declared us not guilty of our sins. He has declared the world not guilty of sin. Paul writes of him, of Jesus, "He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." And so for us Christians, death is no longer anything that we need to fear. It's nothing really that can hurt us because the death of the Christian brings him into the glorious presence of Christ forever and ever. Christ broke the attempted iron grip of the grave and left that grave in triumph. Paul wrote in chapter 15 also, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is our eternal high priest who meets our every need. He took the sting out of the law by keeping that law perfectly for us. He defeated death for us by suffering our death as our substitute. Remember Jesus said before he died on the cross, "Because I live, you also will live." Jesus spoke those words in anticipation of his own resurrection from the dead, as he knew God would not let his Holy One see decay in the grave, but would raise him back to life. He would descend again into hell after he came to life in the grave to show himself to Satan, that Satan and all the demons were now defeated. I don't know if any of you saw the BC cartoon that's going around where somebody was upset because Jesus descended into hell. And his friend said, "Well, don't be sad. He just went there to cancel our reservations." That's why Jesus descended into hell. The suffering was over. The payment for sin was complete. It was finished. But Jesus went and declared his victory over those who opposed him and who oppose us. Because Jesus lives, we live. Through faith in Christ, we have that promise of that eternity in heaven. There in heaven, Jesus is already and continually interceding for us. Remember, it was one of the jobs of the high priest to go to God on behalf of the people and go for God to the people. I teach my catechism kids, that's still a little bit reflected in worship. Do you catch that? When I'm facing the altar, I'm representing you and me to God. When I face you, I'm representing God to us. So that mediation, that intercession continues, not in any kind of human, earthly priesthood yet, but still reflects that as Christ speaks through the called servant of the Word, and as you speak through your called servant to God. But it's no surprise, really, that Jesus continues to intercede for us, because he did that on earth, just like the human high priest. The writer of the Hebrews said, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. Whenever a high priest in Israel died, it was a cause for great mourning. The Bible tells us that when Aaron died, the nation mourned for 30 days. But the Bible also tells us that when Aaron was anointed high priest, the people celebrated for 40 days because they saw the benefit of having a high priest, someone who would represent them to God and someone who could speak for God to them, so they wouldn't have to go directly and hear God and be terrified as they had been on Mount Sinai. In fact, one of the psalm writers said that the joy of Aaron being ordained, or the joy of the universal priesthood, is like the joy of brothers dwelling together in unity. He was making that comparison. That when brothers dwell together in unity and in peace among Christians, that's just as joyful thing as when the oil ran down off of Aaron's head and into his beard when he was anointed high priest. Because our unity, our love for each other, our joining together in our common confessions and beliefs, those are all joyful things that God has given to us through the resurrected Christ, who still intercedes for us, but that's nothing new. Can you think back to some times when Jesus interceded for his people during his ministry? Remember when he warned Simon Peter against pride, and Peter said, though all may die with you, I won't die with you, I will. Though everybody forsakes you, I will never forsake you. Jesus, the great high, eternal high priest, interceded for him. I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Or what about when Jesus was hanging on the cross and people were mocking him and scorning him and crucifying him? He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And in the upper room, Jesus interceded for his disciples then. And he also interceded for us when he prayed in his high priestly prayer, I want those you have given me to be with me and to see my glory. Jesus interceded for us then and continues to be that one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, at the right hand of God, interceding for us, praying for us, going to his Father on our behalf, and saying, bring them, the ones you have given me, bring them to me. Let them share in that glory that you have given me. Let them share in that glorious resurrection, not to eternal rejection, not to eternal pain and suffering and darkness and hell, but raise them in glory, in immortality, in incorruptibility, as you were raised from the dead. We see the compassionate heart of Jesus in his interceding for us as our great high priest. I don't know if you noticed in the gospel reading this morning in Mark that when Jesus said that the people, the women, were to go and tell what had happened, that the tomb was empty. Remember, for those 3 days, that burden of guilt was weighing heavily on Peter's heart, that he had betrayed his Lord. And did you catch, though, what Jesus said, or the angel said? Go tell his disciples and Peter. So Jesus separated Peter out from all the other disciples so that they could let Peter know it's all right. The Savior has risen, just like he said he would. That he wants you to know that for your comfort and for your assurance. You and I are here this morning because God wants us to hear again those words of assurance. Go tell his disciples. Go tell Peter. Tell all the people in Bethlehem this morning and watching on the computers. Tell them again. He's not here. He's risen just like he said. He's conquered sin. He's conquered death. He's given you that eternal life in heaven. It's with good reason we sing, he lives to bless me with his love. He lives to plead for me above. He lives my hungry soul to feed. He lives to help in time of need. You and I are now the eyewitness messengers of our risen Savior. We go with that same compassion for lost souls that Jesus came and had for us, to hear that same good news and to give that good news to others. We are forgiven. We have peace in Jesus. Jesus, our eternal priest, lives forever. He assures us that he is everything we need and that he is interceding for us, and that one day for those who come to the Father through him, he will take us to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for being our great high priest, for doing the things that we could not do, so that we would be with you forever. Amen.